Well, good morning and welcome everyone, especially all of our guests who may be the whole church this morning. It's good to see you. And I also want to welcome all of those who are joining us today through the internet. I really felt led to address them this morning. You know, even though you're not here with us physically, I can't see your faces. We don't know who you are or what your names are, but you just know this, that God knows you, and there's many that are listening, and I believe that God has entrusted us at Christian Faith Fellowship with an amazing privilege to share with you on the goodness of God. And, you know, the crazy thing about this whole website, it was had absolutely nothing to do with me. It was set up by some dear friends of ours who had to move away and wanted to be a part of us. They missed us. And so, of course, her husband being a very computer techie, he decided to set us up for them and so that they could join us every week, and also for my kids who live in the same community. And so I said, sure, no problem. You come out and you set us up and we'll go. And so that afternoon when he was setting me up, he said, well, why don't we just go live? And I said, why? He said, well, you know, there might be all kinds of people that might listen in. And I'm like, okay, whatever. I mean, it was mainly for them and for my kids. And it's just been so humbling to what the Lord has done with that website. I can't even begin to tell you when I look at the website itself. I don't know who these people are, but there's many that are listening in, and I just thank God for the opportunity that has come our way. And, you know, God is a good God, and that has always been my heart, is to share the revelation of God's goodness. He is way better than you and I even can imagine. And the more you learn about God, the more you realize that, and it's just overwhelming. And you know, when you have good news, you got to share it. It's got to come out. It's like, you know, Steve, if you win $1 million and you can't tell anybody, it's pretty hard, isn't it? Like, it's just like you're going to explode. You got to share good news. Amen. Bad news, keep to yourself. But good news, we got to get it out. And that's kind of always been my heart, is really just sharing on the goodness of God. And so if people are being blessed, I am so grateful for that opportunity. And even so, those of you who are listening now this morning with us, and, you know, I'd love to hear from you. You can contact us at Christian Faith Fellowship, Box 7, Fox Valley, area code SONOVO. We'd love to hear from you, and if there's needs you have, we will pray for you and with you, and just praise God for you. Amen. Well, let's go into the Word this morning. Well, today is Thanksgiving. I don't know how many are you having turkey today. Oh, no turkey? Oh, you had it yesterday already. Oh, okay, that's why Al is sitting back. Okay. Well, ours is coming tomorrow. And today is tomorrow is the official Thanksgiving Day, but I'm sure that all across Canada today that many people are celebrating Thanksgiving and are having their Thanksgiving turkeys and their Thanksgiving church service. And that's what today is. And, you know, this is a day where, you know, I look back over some of the sermons over the years, you know, you go back and I even keep them. I got to get rid of them. Anyways, and we're reminded always on this day of how blessed we are. You know, especially those of us who live in this great country. Like, you look on the television and you see the news and you see these other countries and you see what's going on in these other countries, and it's we can't even imagine. You know, we have this idea that, man, that could never happen to us. We can't even picture ourselves in some of the shoes that some of the people in our world live in. And so we are in a very blessed country. In fact, there are people that say that we live in the most blessed country in the world. So we need to be thankful, yes, for what we have. And The problem with that is because we do live in such a great country, we easily take a lot of our blessings for granted, don't we? We just don't stop to think that others don't have the type of life that we are able to live. You know, freedom and not have to worry that somebody's going to shoot you down when you walk out your front door, or you don't have to carry a loaded gun in your car when you travel. And you know, we take so much for granted in our country, don't we? I know I do, you know, and sometimes we need a kind of a jolt to make us realize how blessed we really are. But, you know, this morning I want to talk about something a little different. You know, you can have all of these wonderful blessings and know it. You know, nobody in here is arguing with me when I say that we have a blessed life in Canada. But we can have all of our needs met, physically provided. We can have a great place to live. We can have all the finances we need. Nobody here is starving. I'm sure all of us are trying to pull away from the table. We're not, you know, there's just so much food. There's such an overabundance always of good things to eat. And, you know, we can have all these things and we're living a pretty cushy life. And you know what? We can still be the biggest complainers. I'll say that about me too. I'm not talking about you. I'm talking about myself and, you know, just people in general. We can still be the biggest complainers. But you know, then again, on the flip side, you can have, I've seen people and know of people who have very little of this world's goods and live in a much less blessed country and yet have a much more grateful and positive attitude. I've seen many people that have nothing and yet they're thankful and grateful and just very positive, upbeat. So that tells us that thankfulness, or being thankful, is a heart thing. It's something that comes from within. It's not necessarily, we think that, well, if everything in my life was good, then I'd be thankful and I wouldn't complain. But you know, I don't believe that's true. I believe that thankfulness, gratefulness is really of the heart, right? It doesn't matter if ever all your ducks are in a row in your life. That's not necessarily going to mean you're going to be thankful or grateful. In fact, it could mean quite the opposite. Many times it does. And every one of us sitting here today in this room have had days where we've done nothing but complain. Come on. It's true. But you know, at the end of that day, you feel spent, drained, and very miserable. It doesn't help to complain, right? We were told that from the time where we were kids. Complaining changes nothing. Complaining doesn't help. In fact, it makes things worse. Allison's looking at me. Does she know what I did this week? No, I'm just teasing you, Allison. I'm not reading your mail. But we must realize that having this attitude of thankfulness in all situations, because the Bible tells us to be thankful in all things. In order to have this in all situations, we need to understand this is not a work of the flesh, like a diet. Bless God. I am going to be thankful. I'm not going to let one negative word come out of my mouth. It's going to be all positive. I have nothing good to say. I'm not going to say anything at all. You know, we can be determined we're going to be that thankful and grateful person and always find something good to say. And, you know, it's like any diet we put ourselves on. You know, we might last, some of us might last a few days, maybe a week, maybe 2 weeks. I don't know, depending on how strong you are, how strong your will is. But, you know, eventually, what's in the heart is going to come flying out of your mouth. You can't stop it. The Bible tells us in the book of James that the tongue is an unruly evil, and no man can tame his tongue. So we're left with, God, I want to be thankful. I don't want to be spewing out negativeness and murmuring and complaining, but you're telling me I can't do it. I can't train my own tongue to speak always good things and to be continually thankful instead of always complaining. So what do? I can't train my tongue. So how do we change all that? You know, how's that working for you when you do try? This morning, I want to take a look at first of all, two things. The importance of having a thankful heart. Why is it even important for us? Why is it something that we'd even want to pursue? I mean, other than the fact that if you are negative and murmuring, complaining all the time, nobody wants to hang around you. I mean, if you want friends, I don't know. I mean, but we can't point fingers because we've all had our days, right? It's not like, you're looking around to say, well, he's negative and she's negative. No, we've all been there. But let's face it, when someone is in a mood, we don't want, they're not a nice person to be around. Amen. So what is the importance other than that of really having and seeking for this thankful attitude? And how do we, you and I, change from having this negative and complaining spirit to having a positive and a thankful one? How important is this attitude, really? And out of all the examples of how unthankfulness affects us in the scriptures, how many of us know where I'm going to go this morning? Who are the most complaining people, according to the scripture? It was the Israelites. God's people, his chosen people, were in bondage to Egypt for 430 years. And they were in hard bondage, like they were enslaved and they were made to work very hard. And God, of course, hearing their cries, raises up a man named Moses to go in and deliver the children of Israel from the Egyptian bondage, or from the bondage. Now, how many of us know that everything written in the Old Testament is really a picture? It symbolizes and is a picture of the new. So the children of Israel are a picture of all of us here, all of us in the whole world, who are in bondage to sin, who don't know Jesus. We're in bondage. And so God, seeing this, sends Jesus. Moses represents Jesus. He sends Jesus to deliver his people from this bondage that they're in. They can't get out. If we could have got out, Jesus would not have come. There was no way. The children of Israel could not get out. He sent Moses in. And so you got to understand, all of us, the whole world, was in bondage. I was not in more bondage than you, Michelle. I needed Jesus. You need Jesus. All of us need Jesus. Because the Bible even tells us, if there would have been any way, Jesus wouldn't have had to come. So all of us are in the same boat, the same place. But let's go back now to the children of Israel. He sends Moses in. Moses goes in and he shows all kinds of signs and wonders. I mean, he was doing just miracles left, right, and center. He gets the people out finally. After 10 horrible things, Pharaoh says, okay, get these people out of here, because if you don't take them out, we're all going to die. And so they come out, and the Bible tells us that before they left Egypt, God had told Moses, tell the people to each take a lamb into their homes, sprinkle the blood on the door of each of their homes, because the spirit of death is going to pass through. And when I see the blood, remember, it's not that you see the blood. It's what God sees. It's when I see the blood, I will pass over them. And the Bible tells us they stayed in their homes. They ate the lamb. Now, who do you think the lamb is representative of? Our Lord Jesus. Where do we eat the lamb? The Holy Communion. These are all symbolic and representing the new covenant that we enjoy today. But God told them, okay, get in your homes, put the blood on the lintel of your, or the doorpost of your home, and when the spirit of death passes through, when I see the blood, I will pass over. So in the morning, there was many dead people. And Pharaoh was upset, and he said, take your people and get out of here, because we're all going to die. The Bible tells us that when Moses led these, how many people were there? Anybody here know how many people he let out? It was millions. Now you imagine millions of people gathered together in one big bunch. And we're talking babies, toddlers, teenagers, moms, dads, grandparents, great-great-grandparents. We're talking the whole tribe. Now, the Bible tells us that there was not one feeble among them. That is probably a miracle we can't even imagine. Millions of people, not one feeble. Them old grannies and grandpas walked. They didn't have buses back then, trains to cart them across. No. Everybody was on foot. And there was not one feeble nor one sick among them. They all walked out of Egypt. And the Bible tells us they walked out with all of the wealth. The Egyptians were just giving them everything. Here, just take my gold, take my silver, go. So not only were they completely whole and healthy and able to walk, no matter what age, they also were rich. Now you might ask, why would they need money in the wilderness? Well, they weren't supposed to be staying in the wilderness. They were on their way to a land that God had promised them. But the Holy Communion was taken and ingested before that. That speaks of healing. When they all partook of the Lamb the night before they went on their journey, they were completely healed. And I am a firm believer in the Holy Communion and in healing being released through that. It is all symbolic. If they had it through the symbolic, just the it wasn't the reality of the truth. We have the reality of Jesus Christ and Him crucified. Because that all symbolized what Jesus has done for us. And so the next time we partake of communion, remember that. Anyways, I'm getting off topic. Now the children of Israel are going into the wilderness. And, you know, not only that, the enemy begins to pursue them. And, I mean, they're right behind. They can smell them. And they're up against the Red Sea. Now, what would you do? I mean, the children of Israel were just freaking out. Like, oh my goodness, like, we're out of here, but now they're coming after us. And, of course, we know the story. God says, Moses, stretch forth your hand. The same rod that did all of that is going to, and he just stretched forth his hand. And you command the sea to part. You understand? God didn't part the sea. Moses did. God did it through Moses. God always uses man. And so the sea parted, and all of these million people went through on dry ground. They weren't up to their knees in mud. It was dry ground. And as soon as the last one got to the bank of the other side, God started with the water on the other end and closed up the river, and all of the enemy drowned. Horse and rider thrown into the sea. Anybody remember that song? And so here we have the children of Israel. And we sometimes look at that and think, well, if that had been me, I would have never murmured and complained in the wilderness. I mean, man. And yet, as soon as they had one need, they're walking along in the wilderness. The enemy is gone now. And they get thirsty. Well, they're in a desert. There's not much fresh water around. So what do these people do? After seeing God divide the Red Sea, they murmur and they complain. What did God bring us out here so that we just die in the heat and no water, no food? So then God tells Moses what to do. Strike the rock and out gushed fresh water. No sooner that was done, they're hungry. Complaining again. They complained and complained and complained. And what should have taken 3 days from them to get from where they were, that's what I've heard, to the promised land, took them 40 years. And even after 40 years, didn't go in. They never did go into the promised land. Only the children did. So, how important is it for us to be thankful? Well, when you look at that, it's like, whoa. It was pretty important. Anyways. I'm so off my notes, I don't know where to go here. I was going to go to a scripture, actually. So the people did nothing but murmur and complain before God. even though God had given them his word and promised to take them into a good land, a rich land, a land flowing with milk and honey, it says, a land where they're going to live in houses they didn't build, a land that they're going to drink water from wells they didn't dig, a land they're going to eat food from vineyards they did not plant. In the New Testament, this land is called what? The rest. It is the rest. We'll get to that a little later. But God could not take them in. Psalm 78:40 says this. How often these my people or they provoked him in the wilderness and grieved him in the desert. Verse 41. Yes, they turned back. The word turn back means to pull away. They pulled away and they tempted God and they limited the Holy One of Israel. They limited God. Do you know that we limit God in our lives? God has sent Jesus, just like he sent Moses into the Egyptians to release his people. God has sent Jesus to us. And many of us turn back and we limit God. We limit the Holy One of Israel. So, how do we limit God? There's probably a lot more going on than we really can comprehend. We sometimes don't even understand we're limiting God. But we are. The Israelites, what was the main problem here with these people? They did not trust God to provide for them, did they? They tempted him. They made him look like he wasn't enough for them. What are we supposed to eat? It'd be better for you to just stay back there if we're going to die in the desert anyways. I mean, complaining. God's thinking, duh, I just opened up a sea for you. I send all these plagues to get you out of there. I made sure you came out with silver and gold that you will never, ever have to worry about money for the rest of your life. And now you're thinking, I can't give you a little water to drink or bread to eat. He was angry. God was provoked. But what was the problem? They couldn't really see who God was. They did not know God. And all they could see was where they were right now and their immediate circumstances. And in many times in our lives, that's what causes us to complain, because we cannot see beyond where we are right now. And it might not be a good thing we're in right now. And so we just complain because our focus is on the problem and not the solution. And the children of Israel, all they could see was this wilderness all around them. They could see no water. They could see no food. And by the flesh just like, I need water. They couldn't see beyond. They couldn't put their trust in God to provide even the simplest thing for them. What they saw around them was more real than what God had just done for them. And God was limited as to what he could even do in their lives. So we see here that when you and I are not thankful or have the right attitude, we ourselves limit God and we hurt only ourselves. When you are murmuring, complaining, guess what? Nobody else cares. The thing you're murmuring, complaining about doesn't even know it. And the only person that gets hurt is you. Why? Because you limit God. God wants to get you out of that situation. But he can't when you murmur and complain. And what people don't realize is you have the power. What does the Bible tell us? Life and death is in the power of your tongue. Not the preacher's tongue, not the wife's tongue or the husband's. It's your tongue. And when you murmur and complain, God has nothing to work with. What do you want him to bring to pass what you're murmuring and complaining about? You're speaking death out of your mouth. There is no death with God. God cannot, you have the power in this life to create your own destiny with your own words. The Bible says if you believe what you say, you will have what you say. We don't realize how important what we say is, how important it is. But yet the Bible tells us we can't tame this. We want to speak all these great positive things, but we can't. Just by making up our minds that I'm going to speak it. There's something, there's a deeper root There's a much deeper root here that's going on. Why do I speak all this junk out of my mouth? I know the minute it comes out, it's wrong, but I can't take it back. There's that old saying, oh, sticks and stones may hurt my bones, but words will never hurt me. Are you kidding me? Words are the most deadly things out there. It's what created your whole life, are the things you're speaking. So where do we get this thankfulness from? How do we become more thankful? Psalm 95. Psalm 95. King David here. We're on Psalm 95. I'm going to read 10 and 11. Verse 10 says, 40 years long I was grieved with that generation. 40 years. And God said, it is a people that do err in their hearts, and they have not known my ways. And I said that earlier, I'm going to say it again. The children of Israel did not know God. They did not know his goodness, his ways. What are God's ways? They're totally opposite our ways, and they're totally opposite of what you even think. But if you and I don't have the gumption to find out what God's ways are, then God doesn't, we suffer. We got to take the initiative. That's why the Bible says, if you seek me with all of your heart, you're going to find me. You're going to know who I am. And you're going to not only know who, in knowing who he is, you're going to know his ways. So the children of Israel did not know their God and didn't know his ways. And I wonder sometimes if you and I really, really understand how to be thankful for what it really is. How to understand thankfulness. I want us to turn over to Psalm 116 if you've got your Bibles this morning, and I want to read verses 12 and 13. Here we see King David, who wrote the majority of the Psalms. He's overwhelmed with God's goodness towards him. King David was, his name means my beloved. He was a God, he was a man after God's own heart. That means that he knew God's heart. And King David was so overwhelmed with God, with all the goodness of God, God's protection, God was so good to him. And so he says in Psalm 116, verses 12 and 13, he says, what can I render unto the Lord for all of his benefits, all of his goodness or his grace towards me? What can I give? You know, when we're thankful, when we've got a heart, we want to just give unto God. We want to give to someone, even in the natural, who we feel has blessed us. It's just an automatic response, right? When someone has given you something and it's touched your heart, you want to give. And so King David says, what can I give to God or to you, Lord, for all of your benefits towards me? Verse 13 says, I will take the cup of salvation and call upon the name of the Lord. That's what he's going to give. Now, what does that mean? Because usually when someone gives you give something in return. You give something in return. Here he says, I will take the cup of salvation and I will call upon the name of the Lord. Remember I said last week, the word salvation does not necessarily mean being saved from hell. It's part of it, thank God. But it is much bigger than that. Jesus is the Savior of us all. All. You know what I'm saying? He didn't just save part of you. He saved you. Eternal life is in you. He who has the Son has this life already right now. As much as you're going to experience is up to you. You can experience it in this life. Or if you really believe that it's just for the next life and the sweet by and by, that's what you're going to experience. As a man believeth and thinketh in his heart, so he is. Out of the abundance of what he believes, so he speaks. And his words bear weight. God has given us the authority through our words. He gave Adam and Eve dominion. Man has always had dominion, but Adam and Eve gave it to the devil. Now the devil uses your negative words. He's waiting. You know what? He can't do anything in your life unless you give him place with your words. And he can take those words and he can bring them to pass. He needs you. God at the same time needs your words as well. to bring things to pass. But you are the middle. And most people don't realize that. They think God can just do whatever he wants. No, he cannot. He can. He's sovereign. But this is the way he's designed it. That's why he said, you don't know my ways. You think I could just do whatever. I need you to cooperate with me because that's the way I set this whole thing up. And if you're going to rebel against that and you think I should just pour things out, no, God's not just going to pour anything out. He's given you the authority to choose. That's why the Bible says you choose life. You choose what you're going to speak into being in your life. It's not just like, oh, well, if God wants me to have this, he's just going to dump it on me. No, he's not. The devil would maybe do that if he could, but God won't. He respects you far too much. He's given you a choice. He's given you a choice to receive his son or reject him. He's never going to force salvation on you. He's going to stand by and he's going to love you all the way through it, but he's not going to force you. So here David says, I will take the cup of salvation and I'm going to call upon the name of the Lord. So this salvation is the word yada, and it literally means to, I'm ahead of myself. Salvation, I've got the wrong definition here. It actually means deliverance, safety, victory, prosperity, health, help, and wholeness. Did we miss anything? That's what salvation means. And so David says, I'm going to drink the cup of salvation. I will take the cup of salvation. In other words, I will take freely what God is offering. Health, prosperity, wholeness. I'm going to take this. That's how I render thanksgiving to God. It's by taking what he's freely giving me. If I reject it, I'm saying, no, God. God paid a high price for it. We sometimes think that's pious. Being humble, I'm not sure. But God has given so much. And we come to him and we say, oh God, how can I just thank you for all you've given me? Take some more. And God is even happier. Now, what you may not know is the word thanksgiving is the word yada. Okay, I looked it up and I did a study on it yesterday. And this word actually means to use. So we're talking about David taking the cup of salvation. He's using what God has given him. And in fact, I even say it, and I know people get the wrong impression, but Jesus came to the earth to be used. He's your salvation. He's your health. He's your prosperity. But if you don't use him, he's not going to force it on you. David is saying, I'm going to take some more. So it actually means to use or to hold out the hand, taken from the word yod, which means an open hand. Now, when someone wants to give you something and your hand is closed, they can't give it to you. If Pat comes up to me and says, here, I'd like to give you this as a gift, and my hands are closed to taking it, she would, well, here, take it. But if I don't open my hands to receive it, so you see, thankfulness is really an open hand. That every time you say, thank you, Lord, your hands are open and he's given you more. Do you understand? We get a funny idea of what Thanksgiving is. It's like, you know, in the natural, we get offended if people don't thank us for something we've done. Don't we? In a lot of cases, especially if we've gone out of our way and we don't even hear a thank you from them or a, you know, that was nice. But you know, God is not about the thank you in that manner. He's about getting that blessing to you, Pat. He wants you blessed. And thanksgiving is the open hand. It's the receiving. Every time you give thanks to God, he's filling your hands with more. So is it important for us to be thankful? Oh, yeah. When we murmur and complain, we're turning away and it's like, no, God, I don't want your blessings. Now, if you don't think you need God's blessings, that's fine. But I want them. And when we know God's ways, you see, that's where the problem comes in. We don't understand how God works. And so that we don't see the importance and how much he's placed, how much of an onus he's placed on us just to understand his ways. It's not that he wants us to do anything. God doesn't say, if you do this and that, Steve, I'm going to bless you. No, he says, come and drink. Open your hands up freely. Just thank me. That's why the Bible says, in all things, with prayers, with supplication and thanksgiving, make your requests be made known unto God. When you pray, give thanks, because that's opening up your hands and saying, I receive what I've just asked for. And so it's very important. And it's not just important when you have this big need. It's important every day, because guess what? Every day we have little things that we give thanks for. And God, and the moment, it's like whenever we give thanks for something, it's like when Jesus raised his hands with the little lads, loaves and fishes, five, whatever, and he's going to feed 5,000 people, possibly 10. And he hands them up to God and he says, thank you, God, for this lunch. And what happened? It fed 5,000 people, and there was lots left over. So it's like when you give thanks, you are actually causing God's increase on whatever it is you're giving thanks for. If you're giving thanks for your healthy body or your energy today, guess what? You are going to have more energy than you even know what to do with. Because what you're doing is you're actually increasing. You're allowing God's increase to come on the thing you need for that day. If it's energy, if it's wisdom for something, if it's money, food, I don't care what it is, health in your body, give thanks for it. And God will come in. You've got your hands open and he is able to release that blessing. If it's salvation, if you've never, ever accepted Jesus, if he's not real to you, all you have to do is open up your hands and say, I thank you, Lord, that you've saved me from all hell. And he comes in immediately. And increases. It changes your life forever. But when you and I understand God's ways, it's not about him receiving the glory and feeling good about giving you something. It's about him getting his blessings and his goodness to you. That's why I said at the beginning of this service, we have no idea how good God is, because we look at God like we look at each other. God is not like us. He is all about you. He lives for you. He died for you, but now he's living for you and wanting to get all that he died for you for into your life, his life into your life, so that we all can give glory to him. Amen. And now when you realize, when you by faith, you just step in and just say, you know what, Lord, I am going to be thankful. God will meet you where you're at. And guess what? Now thankfulness is coming out of your heart. And it's not, you're not will, it's not by willpower. It's like, oh my goodness, you can't help but thank God. It gets to the point where you get before God, you can't even pray a prayer. It's just all thankfulness. Because he's so good and he just keeps on. And the more you thank him, the more he blesses. Wow. That's God's way. That's God's ways. And so we need to understand that this is important. So David says, I will take more and God will be blessed. That's how we thank God. Just take some more. Use some more. You know, that's our God. He'll never run out. He'll never run out. His grace is so amazingly big. You know, according to the riches of his grace, have we all received gift heaped upon gift. There's no way you can measure the riches of God's grace. So, in closing this morning, I'm just going to ask us this question. Who or what is the cup of salvation? David said, I'm going to take the cup of salvation, and I'm going to call upon the name of the Lord. Well, we know that in the New Testament, the cup of salvation is the blood of Jesus Christ that was shed to wash away all sin, not just the ones we committed up until the time, but all your sins from the time before. Well, thank God it's all of the sins, because Jesus died 2,000 years ago. His blood was shed that long ago. So how many of those sins did his blood cover back then? Just half of your lifetime sins, or, you know, or up until the fact that you knew that you were saved? No, it's your whole lifetime. People have a hard time wrapping their brain around that. God lived before he knew all things. He knows everything about you. And so all sin, But you know what? We sit here and we say, yeah, we get it. But do we get it? Do we really get it? So the blood of Jesus Christ has washed away all sin. When he comes back, he's not coming to deal with sin. He dealt with it in his first coming. But he's only coming to deal with one sin, and that's the sin of rejecting him. What did you do with the cup of salvation? Did you receive it? Or did you turn away and say, oh, no, no, I can do it on my own? No, none of us can. None of us can. I mean, that's why Jesus came. He came for all. We've all, the Bible says, fallen short of the glory of God. We all need to be saved. The Bible says, whosoever should believe in their heart and confess with their mouth the Lord Jesus shall be saved. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. He's made it so simple. He doesn't want any of us to perish. And so salvation is really the cup of salvation. That's the beginning, is Jesus coming in and giving us a brand new heart. It says that he makes us righteous. With the heart, man believeth unto righteousness. So the blood of Jesus was shed and has cleansed us from all sin. And by that same blood, he has made you and I as righteous as Jesus is. And that's where we have trouble. Yeah, I do. He's made us the righteousness of God in Jesus. We need to see ourselves that way. This is the cup of salvation. And thereby, by his grace, he has given us all things that the righteousness of Jesus deserves. You didn't deserve it. He does. And because you're in Jesus now, you're safe. You have full salvation, not just a little bit of it. Now, you can take just a little bit of it in this lifetime if you want. But I know it's all for me now. And as much as I can believe and give thanks for and trust him for, I can have in this lifetime. Not just in the sweet by and by. I don't need healing when I get to heaven. I'll have a new body. Health is for now. I don't need prosperity. In heaven, the streets are paved with gold. You're not going to take any money with you. That salvation includes this life too. And praise God, eternal life as well. So the cup of salvation is all of these things, all of the blessings, big and small. God's no respecter of blessings. He doesn't say, oh, Michelle, that's such a little nitty thing. You think I'm going to bother giving? No, you know what? God's already given it. Do you understand that? How did God create the world? He spoke, and the world was. How did he create the blessings in your life? He already spoke all these things over your life, Michelle. In there, he says, you are my beloved. In you, I have given you all these things. I have placed you in Christ far above all principality, power, might, and every dominion and every tongue or name that can be named, not only in this world, but also in the world to come. Read, find yourself in the scriptures. God already spoke it. It's already done. You need to just tap into it. Long before you were born, everything was spoken. Salvation was spoken over you. You pick it up. You give thanks for it. You take it. To take it means to make it your own. Don't let the pastor or the preacher tell you what belongs to you. You know what? You make it your own. I can't give it to you. I can't force it on you. I take mine, you take yours. Everybody has to make it their own. You can't force your children. You can't drag your kids to heaven with you. You can't do any of that. You are all in control of your own lives. So you and I must reach out and take and receive the cup of salvation, which is really the grace and the goodness of God through Christ. The salvation from hell, sickness, disease, poverty, from all evil, all curses that might come to harm us in this life. And how do we do this? If you drop down to verse 17 of the same psalm, it says here, David says this right after, I will offer to you the sacrifice of thanksgiving. And I will call upon the name of the Lord. That's how he takes it. Thanksgiving. When we are thankful every day, we're opening up the door for God's grace, for God's blessings in our lives. That doesn't mean everything's going to be cushy around you and there's a reason to be thankful. There might be days where there is nothing around your day that you want to be thankful for. But you know what? Don't look at those things. Look to him. Look beyond. Don't be like the children of Israel and all you see is desert and know, look beyond to how big he is and how good he is and how much, know his ways. That's his ways, to look beyond our circumstances to him. And just give thanks. Give thanks for whatever it is you need. I don't care how petty, how little, how big. God's not going to be shocked by what you say. He already knew a long time ago what you needed, and he already has it there. It's there. I believe there's a storehouse in heaven with all of our good things in it. And someday we're going to get to heaven and we're going to walk through this storehouse and we're going to go, oh my goodness, this could have been mine. Come on. I've seen a show where a guy had an experience. He went to heaven and he saw a storehouse and they took him in and he saw limbs. He saw body parts. He saw all kinds of things in that room. And he was like, what is this place? And he said, this is all the parts of the saints and the things that I've stored up for them, and they weren't taken by my people. Now, you know, and I heard that, I said, yes! I thought, praise God, there really is a storehouse in heaven. So by faith, let's take them. Like, God is good. He's not withholding anything good. The Bible says he withholds nothing good from us once you have received Jesus. All that Jesus has is now freely yours. And he's not going to be shocked, Ellison, when you go in there and say, okay, Lord, thank you. I need this today. He's not going to be shocked. He knows exactly what you need. And sometimes, I'm going to tell you, when you've got a kind of one of those days, sometimes you don't know what you need. You're not sure why you feel the way you do. You just got up on the wrong side of the bed and you're just miserable. Like, and it's not because, you know, it's not because of anything going on in the natural. It's something deeper than that. You know what? Even on days like that, take what you need. Just say, Lord, I thank you for the joy of the Lord. I thank you that I feel good today. And you know what? He knows what's wrong with you. You know, if it's a hormone thing or if it's, he knows. He knows everything about you and he can instantly give you that. But just keep that door open. Keep that flow going through thankfulness. Even though you may not understand even what you're thanking him for, just do it knowing he is greater than your problem, knowing he cares for you and he wants you blessed. And so just thank him. Thank him. You know, sometimes we just need to stop and take a moment and just get our minds on to how good he really is. Focus on him. And then the thankfulness won't be just a lip service. It'll come from the heart. Amen? But it's up to each one of us. And is it important? Yes, it is important. But it's also our choice. Amen? It's our choice whether we're going to live a thankful life and allow God to really bless us, or if we're going to be like the children of Israel and just never really make it in. You see, the rest is a picture of us trusting in God completely and never having to murmur or complain, because we know there's no point in me complaining about this because God is bigger than that, and I'm resting in him. That's what the rest is. I'm resting in his ability to change my situation. It doesn't mean we're never going to go through bad situations or things that are, but we're resting in his ability. If the children of Israel would have rested and known that if God could bring us out of Egypt, surely he can take us into the promised land. But no, they didn't rest. In fact, when Moses went up on the mountain, they built a calf. They figured, oh no, we have no God now. We have nobody to lead us. We're going to build a calf. No, they weren't trusting or resting in anything. And so we need to rest in his promises, knowing that even though, you know, this has happened in my life, I'm going to just continually give thanks. I can give thanks. You know why? Because I know he's already taken care of it. And trust him for it. Amen. Anybody learned anything this morning? Amen. Let's pray. Let's pray.